Accession number 11970, reel 3.
Mr. Albert Birtwistle, Reel 3. We were talking about the time during your training with 3rd Battalion in the Lair area at Plymouth.
Yeah.
We've looked on a bit and back a bit.
Yeah.
But going back to talking about your billets,
yeah.
How did you get to know your wife, your future wife then?
Yeah. Well, my wife, she was in service. And she used to come home twice a week. And that was on Thursdays and Sundays. Sunday she got half a day, and of course the other she came home about 4 o'clock. So on the Thursday, the mother had told us about her daughter coming home, you see. I'd met one already. Well, three of the daughters, the two young ones and the other one. But anyway, I said, we were all stood at the window waiting to see this daughter that was coming from service. And she used to come along the back lane that we could see. And anyway, he came in and introduced us to her, like, and we were... my pal said to me one day, some time after, he said, I'm going to Plympton tonight to meet Dolly. He said, who are you going to meet? I said, well, I said, there's only one woman that I'm going to have, and that's this daughter that we've seen coming out of service. I says, Vera. I says, she's the one for me. And he said, well, you better get a tell her then, like, you know. I said, oh, I said, okay, I'm too young yet, 16 year old, and she was 2 years older. You see, she were 18. So I said, 16, you know, and then two. And they reckon to say you want to be 2 years older than your wife, so that means to say 4 years. I thought, well, 4 years is a long time, you know. She said, wouldn't I know to do it? Anyway, I never did say anything to her until I'd been to France, and I'd had a photograph of her, and I had it in my wallet, and I was writing a letter one day, and I had this wallet on the fire step. Well, I was writing this letter, and one of the chaps said, oh, he said, is that your wife? I said, well, she's going to be. I said, I can't say anything out about it like, we were having after. I said, but anyway, it's, that's me girl, what I'm intended having for a wife. Well, it wasn't till I came home and I was on convalescent at Eaton Park when... I thought, oh, I'm going to go down to Plymouth. So I had a fortnight's leave coming. So I said, right, I'll go down there for a week and then I'll go home for a week. But I wrote down and asked her mother, would it be all right if I could go down to stay? She said, wrote back and said, yes, like, it'd be all right for a week. So anyway, I got down and I asked her to go out with me, like.
That was the first time you'd gone out with her?
Yes. Yeah, so I asked her to go to the picture, I think it was. Anyway, I went down, we went out several times, like, I went to the house on the Sunday afternoon when it were a day off, and the lady at the house where she worked, she came to the door, and she said, oh, are you Vera's boyfriend? I said, well, I hope so, you know, and she said, well, you better come in. Vera, come on, get that ready. Your boyfriend's here, you know, upstairs. Of course, we went for a walk in the fields. And then I said to her mother, I said, would it be all right if I stop another week? So I stayed the fortnight there. So, of course, I said, right, I said, like, will you consider it like as a, you know, friendship? Intentions, like. So I said, yeah, it's all right with you. So that's how it started. And then she came up on holiday to our house, and Of course, 2 years after we were married in 1924.
And that all started...
1922, rather.
All started from your billet.
From the billet, sorry. But she was a grand lass, she was. Yeah, she was. Worth her weight in gold, she was. And I've got three daughters there in billet, bejoved, they like her. Well, her mother and her grandmother, oh, they used to put their arms around my neck and, you know, they were wonderful, really. It was.
Now, you weren't in these billets that long, actually, were you?
No.
But there's another story I know you told me about when you were doing some extended order drill on the hill.
Oh, yes.
And your sergeant, the sergeant lived with you, didn't he?
Yes, well, he lived upstairs.
Who was that? Do you remember that?
Sergeant Stanworth.
And could you tell us that story?
Yes, well, he... on this, the field facing the house, and it was the same rake... The rake of the ground, it was, oh, a terrible hill. And he had us on extended order drill this morning. And we were doing extended order drill. Of course, there's nothing to do, only blow a whistle and wave your arm. And if you're extended order, 32 in a platoon, and you're 8 paces apart, you can tell how far you had to run the outside one. And that's what we're... And when we came off parade, believe we could wring our shirts out. You know, they were that wet. And the daughter that was at home, that used to go in, she was in service, but she only used to go from home to the service, to the house where she worked. And she was watching from the window. So when the sergeant came in to go upstairs to his billet, she played steam with him, you know, because he put us through it. She could see what how we were. And she carried on with him. And he says, that's nothing, he says. Wait till this afternoon. He says, you watch it this afternoon. Well, he gives us all. You talk about putting us through it in the afternoon. He absolutely murdered us. He did. We come off pay. We're sagging at the knees, I'll tell you. We were that. He says, are you satisfied now? And well, we all carried on with her, you know, because she'd let us in for all this lot. But that was that. Aye.
Now... You weren't in the... But how long were you in those billets?
Oh, I don't know. I couldn't tell you. 2 or 3 months. Because they were building the huts at the time, you know. They were building the camp at the time. And that was Lara Camp.
And that's where you went there?
Yes, we went up into Lara Camp there.
And were you sorry to leave the billets to go into camp?
Well, we were sorry, I'll tell you. When we got up there, everything was different, you know. It was...
What were the camp huts like? Can you describe them to us?
Well, I don't know. I think about 30 odd in a hut, you know. And with wooden planks, you know, for, well, there wooden boards really to put down for on little trestles for beds. And then we had one of those stoves in the middle of the room, you know, to warm it up. But a bit rough.
Was there a corporal or sergeant in the room?
Well, each room had a corporal or a sergeant, you know. Yes.
Did you have to keep the room clean?
Oh, we did, yeah. Keep it clean. We had to keep it clean, too, because it's dry, what they call dry scrubbers. And it was on a handle, and you got another fellow at the other side with a brush and pressing down onto this dry scrubber, and you dry scrub the whole room, you know. It was jolly hard work to do, you know. We didn't need to keep it all. Yes, you had to keep it clean and keep your bed tidy and all that, you know.
What about the stove? Was that...
Well, the stove, it weren't much use, were it, in the middle of the room. Yeah, but we all used to sit around it, telling their stories, you know, about different things, escapades.
What about you? Did you have kit inspections? Why?
Yes, we had kit inspections. We used to lay our kits out on the beds, and it was a peculiar thing that, because this was after I'd moved up to Fort Efford, but we were having a kit inspection there, and there was an officer that had come from the guards, and before I went up. My mother said, well, you'll have to be able to sew a button on now, you know. So she showed me how to use a needle and thread to sew, and how to sew a tear in my trousers, what she called the, what was it, stitch? I forget what the stitch was now, but anyway, she taught me that, and she taught me how to darn my socks with a hole. She said, don't let it get, if it's coming thin, just darn it and put a darn on it and keep it together. So I'd done this with my clothes when I went to Port Efford, and I even put a patch on my shirt. Well, this guy, and I put, of course, when I put my kit down, I put these so they could see me darns on my socks and the patch on my shirt, you see. And the guards officer, he looked at it and he said, that man, excuse him from kit inspections in future. So I was exempt kit inspections because of the, you know.
Did you have to put your kit out, I mean, when you were just a recruit, did you have to put the kit out in a special way?
Just a certain way, yes. I had to have, you know, I can't just tell you now what it was, but we had our socks and our shoes. You had two pair of shoes, you see, and you had what they call a pair of ammunition boots. Then were the, for marching in. And I used to have these upside down. You know, you turn the tops in and turn them over so they could see the soles. And then you, your socks, you put them in front of that. And, of course, you roll your shirts and everything up and laid them out and, you know.
Was there a problem with people stealing bits of kit?
Oh, there many a time, yeah. I know I had my cap badge pinched and I told the sergeant, and he said, you man, pinch one back again. I said, no, I said, not my way of doing it, sir. I said, I don't like pinch. I were told not to steal, you know. And so he said, well, go to the store and tell the what he said, and tell him that I sent you to get a fresh cap badge. So that was, I got a cap badge back again. But, different things. Oh.
You carried on your training that we've already talked about while you were at this camp, didn't
you? Yes.
How were you getting on with the lack of privacy and the discipline in the army? You know, the army lifestyle.
Oh, well, you got used to it. I got used to it. But at Fort Efford, we were put on, when we moved from the camp up to Fort Efford, and we were all, that's all the youngsters that were, you know, the young.
I'll come back to that, because that's just going a bit.
Yeah.
Did you get on well with your fellow?
Oh, recruits? Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We'd been not much trouble. We had no.
Were you all from similar backgrounds, or was there a big range?
Oh, the big range. Oh, yes. You had a big range of different ones, different chaps, all different natures and everything, you know. But I was always a chappy that could get on with people.
There was no bullying or anything?
Well, there was, yes, there was hard times, bullying and all that, but...
What type of bullying?
I didn't... Well, I don't know, a chap taking advantage of other lads that were a bit, not up to things, you know, I mean, to say, a lot of them that, you know, that are fast, what is it, some from the towns. You know, these town lads were always a bit quicker than the country yokels. But I was saying, there was a country yokel lad that stick up for themselves, you know.
There were many
bits of skirmishes, but, you know.
There wasn't anything too serious?
No, not to that, no.
Did anyone try and bully you or take advantage of you that you can remember?
Well, I don't think so, because I were pretty tall, you see, I were pretty big. And then... I did, think I were a bit of a boxer. And, one fellow had a better boxer than me, and he knocked me over the bed. So I said, well, I'll pack up with that now.
What about the NCOs, your instructors? Now, you were an instructor later on.
But what
were your instructors like to you?
Well, dear, that's Stanworth. He was, but believe me, he made us soldiers. He did. He really made us soldiers. He was one of the best instructors there were. He was a good one.
What was good about him? What made him such a good instructor?
Well, I don't know. He was discipline-wise, you know, but he never put anybody on the peg or anything like that. But he made you do it, you know. He was determined. And time after time, he'd have you doing things, you know, till he absolutely made you a soldier. He did. He was a clever fellow, really. He was only small, but he was short. But by jingo, he was a jolly good instructor, he was. He knew his job, you know.
Now, did you like him? I mean, you later became an instructor, but did you like him at the time, when he was actually training you?
Not for a beginning, I didn't, but anyway, besides, he used to be billeted upstairs from where I was, but there was a quartermaster sergeant also billeted in the same room. There were two of them, the sergeant and a quartermaster sergeant, and they made me had to clean the buttons and all that, you know.
Servant.
Clean the not the servant, they call it a batman. They made me the batman. They said, like, you come up here and do our batman. I don't know because my buttons were clean or not. Anyway, they told me to go up, so I had to look after them too, you see. So he was more or less human with me, you will say, do you see? Where he wasn't human with the platoon, but still I was in the platoon, you know.
What did the rest of the platoon think of him?
Oh, well, I still want to say, you know, one word. I say one word will suffice for that, you don't need to say any more.
did they get to like him, I mean, later on?
No, nobody ever liked him. They didn't like him, no. But
you saw...
But I did, I could see that his intentions were good. They were. I mean, to say he had to make soldiers of us, and he did.
What about the other instructors?
Well, they were all similarity, but you got just one. We got one instructor after that, a fella called Sergeant Webb. Now, he was an old-time serving fella, but he was a good fella. He was nice. He was a nice instructor. But he wasn't not like the other chap, the bully, more or less. He bullied you into it, it's Tamworth, but Webb didn't.
Do you think it was as effective as Stanworth's bullying, though, if you see what I mean?
Oh, I dare say it was. The effective
methods.
In that, yes. Oh, yes. He forced it into you, it's Tamworth, but the other fella did it by fair means. I thought, if ever I'm an officer, you know, if ever I'm in charge of anybody, I shall use Webb's way of doing, not Stanworth's way of doing. Although he was a terrorist, Stanworth. He was.
So that later on that was of use to you, the two stars.
Yes, oh yes.
What about the officers? Did you see much of the officers?
Well, really, we saw them. They used to come on parade every day, you know, with us.
Did they have much to do with your training?
No, not with our training. No, they had nothing to do with our training at all.
Were they being trained themselves, the young subs?
Well, they were sub, yes. I was, as a matter of fact, later when I was made Lance Corporal, I...
I'll come back to that. I think that's right, yes, because it takes you too far ahead, then, isn't it? So, you didn't see much of them at the time?
No, they came on parade, you know, they were on parade and walking round. That's all they were doing.
At the time?
Well, I don't know, You think all sorts about different officers, you know. It all depends on the officer himself. You had some good officers and you had some of the other soldiers as well.
Who was your platoon and company commanders? Do you remember them at the time when you were a recruit?
When I was a recruit, I can't. I know the sergeant major, the company sergeant major, Carroll, a fella called... Oh, no, Stedeker. He was our first one. A fella called Stedeker.
In which company were
you? And then that was in F Company. And then when I went up to B Company up at Fort Efford, that was Company Sergeant Major Carroll. Now he was a big chap, broad shouldered.
I'll come back to him then. So when you were with F Company, did you have to do guard duty? Because I think you've got a story about an early guard.
Oh, yeah. Well,
before we get on, how would you prepare for a guard? Did they run the stick system? You
know, oh yes, yeah, yeah. The cleaners, they put one extra man on, and the most soldierly like one, he gave him the stick, you see. Well, that was he didn't used to do any guard duty, not on sentry duty, but he used to run all the errands, you know, the errands and everything else that had to be like fetch the dinners and all that for you, you know.
Did you ever win that or try it?
I was always on that, bar this once, when, of course, the first guard duty that I ever did, and that was at the battery, And we were in billets.
Layer of battery.
That's right, layer of battery. And we were in billets then, still in billets then, with Vera's mother. And, of course, I was sent out to... But they had no stick, what is it then? It was just a matter of forming a guard to do the guard for the for the battery, you know. Well, it was in February. I'd only been there a week then when I was put on this guard duty. And we marched out to up to the battery. And my turn happened to become the 4 till 6 in the morning. That was early morning. Well, the regimental sergeant major, oh, he was an old South African wallah. He had a big tash and he was almost like a nigger, really. He was that burnt with the, you know.
Is that Watkins?
Watkins, Sergeant Major Watkins. And he had a tash, a curl out, straight curl out tash. And, well, to look at him, it frightened you nearly, you know. But, anyway, this sentry box was outside the gate of the battery, and you'd march backward and forward in front of the battery gate. But it was a peculiar thing, but going up towards the battery, it was like a gully. There was a hill, hill on both sides, and it was looking out onto the Plym, the River Plym, which was out onto the Hoe. The River Plym ran out onto Plymouth Hoe. And all the wind, it used to just come up that, like coming up a chimney. And you stood there, you were absolutely frozen. Oh, it was terrible cold, bitter, February. And anyway, it was, I tell you, 4 o'clock in the morning, I got my great coat on, and I'd be collar up and pulled up round my body tight, and I sat back in the corner of the sentry box, and or stood back in the corner of the sentry box because you had no seating. And he put my rifle on the other corner, my rifle and the bayonet on it, and I got snuggled up in this corner so nice and warm, and I fell asleep, stood up. The next thing that happened to me was somebody shaking me. I opened my eye, and there's this Regimental Sergeant Major Watkins. Oh, God. My heart dropped in my shoes. And you know you were on the on war, you know, war, what is it? We're at war, and you're on the, I forget the name now, what they call it. Active service. You're on active service. He said, you know, you can be shot at dawn. Well, you know, oh dear. Talk about dinner. Oh dear. So he gave me a right jug choking off. Oh, he didn't have to carry on with me about give me all the regulations and one thing and another. And right. So anyway, the finishing up, he said, don't ever do that again. He says, now, this, I'll forgive you this time, he says, but don't ever go to sleep on sentry duty, he said, because you can be shot at dawn. So, anyway, that was that. But
he'd taken your rifle, hadn't he?
He took my rifle and bayonet out. I grabbed from your rifle and in the corner, and it wasn't there. And he put his hand round the side of the sentry box, and he gave me my rifle and bayonet again. And then, of course, he told me, that was the beginning. Oh, dear. That learned me a lesson, that.
Now, how did you prepare? You said you used to win the stick, you know, but, I mean, everybody would be trying to win that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What was the secret of getting your kit your uniform in condition so that you won the stick?
No, I don't know, but I spent a lot of time painting my buttons and my boots. I had a pair of army boots. They were second-hand ones. They weren't new, but I got them out of the stores, and believe me, I could polish them, and I could see myself through them. They were like mirrors. And
Was there any secret to it, or was it just hard?
Well, I got my button stick, my toothbrush, because it was a bone handled one, and they used to bone handle all the what is it, with polish on, you know, and then and spit the old, call it spit and polish, because you spit on it as well, you know, to help it. And believe me, I never saw a pair of boots as, you know, like them. They were absolutely just like a mirror.
Did you do and the then, soles as well?
Oh, well, in the inner sole, you know, not the sole itself, but on the inner sole, I used to blacken and polish them inside.
What and, about your buttons? How did you
well,
get them?
Well, my buttons, I don't know. I polished them and polished them, you know. And I used to try to, my blanket, my belt and all that, you know, it was, and the brasses on the belt and everything, you know, it used to be, get it perfect. The scabbard, my bayonet scabbard, I used to bone that too with me and polish it with the, you know, the handle of my toothbrush, polish it up.
Did other people try as hard as you?
Well, I don't know. They must have tried, but I don't know. And then, of course, I suppose we've been a little bit tall, you see, you know, or a little bit taller than more than the rest. So I suppose that went a long way too, you see.
So it made you look more soldier-like?
Yeah. And then I've got a good chest. As a matter of fact, when I went in hospital once, Dr. Lal, he was taking a set of pupils and he brought them around the bed. And he said, now this is what they call a pigeon chest. He said, they're usually good runners of these fellas. And I said to her, I gave him a second in the cross country. I said, and that, you know, your chest is a big thing too. I mean, to say, if you look at some people, you can see that there's no chest at all. They just look like a streak. You just look at them. I've looked regular at different ones. And you just stand there, you know, and your chest is...
How tall were you at the time? You say you were taller than...
5 foot ten and three quarters.
And that was about how much taller than most people think?
Well, I don't know. Majority are about 5 foot six, aren't they? I was a bit above. And Peter was about the same size. We were both about the same height.
Would you... would people get a bit jealous of you winning the stick?
Well, of course they do. You get jealous. They think you shouldn't have it, you know. And I used to get that regular. So it saved me going on night duty, you know, on sentry go. Although I used to relieve some of them sometimes. I say, go on, I'll have a couple of hours on for you, you know. That with the sergeant's consent, of course, in charge of the guard, you know. Yeah.
Now, is there anything else you remember about this period before you were supposed to go out to Gallipoli and you were put out? Any other stories or recollections?
Yeah, I don't know.
And did you drink at all or smoke at the time?
Well, I smoked a lot, but I didn't drink a lot. I wasn't a big drinker, never.
You drank?
No. Well, we used to go and out and have a drink, but we didn't used to go and get drunk or anything like that. No, I weren't too keen on...
Did you think your training had been adequate as you came up to the end of your training? Did you think you were properly trained?
Oh, yeah,
trained?
Well, I thought I was, yeah, I thought we were trained, you know, because you...
With hindsight...
Well, we'd had a good training, we had a good training, a lot more training than what a lot of them went out, you know, that went out to France.
And what about with hindsight? Did you think you thought you were well trained, but when you look back at it as an instructor, do you think you knew as much as you should?
Oh yes. Well, we had a good instructor. Stanworth, he was a good instructor. There's no two ways about it, and he didn't leave us anything short. You know, I mean, it's like you'd to know about the battalion, the different all around the cap badge. We had laurel wreaths, you know, and each one of it was a battle. Each laurel wreath, and then in the middle was the Sphinx, because they've been to Egypt, And then, of course, there was a crown on the top. You got all this.
Stanworth.
Oh, yeah, he told us all these things, you see. He was a good instructor, really.
Were you proud in the factory in East Lanc?
Big pardon?
Were you proud in
Oh, yeah, proud. Oh, you get proud of it. Of course, you get proud of your own regiment. You've got to be proud of your own regiment, haven't you? You know. Yes, oh, I was proud of the own regiment, yes. Because they'd, I don't know, about 15 leaves on the... and the cap badge, and each one represented a different battle that they'd been in.